Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dick Steele throw short to Prattley. Dick Steele gets it back. Dick Steele looking for some support. Ball into the box towards the near post. It's not well cleared and it comes back to Prattley. Prattley backwards to Cullen. Cullen, ball into the box. It's a decent looking one. And it's a tee! And it's a goal from Jason Pearce! Returning back to the side with a striker's finish. Great ball in from Josh Cullen. And Jason Pearce stretching his left foot out, managing to get the contact he wanted. And after 34 minutes, Charlton have the lead at Adams Park.
Well, the ball in was just a sumptuous one from Cullen. It was a throw came in, it went back and forth to Dixon and Lapsley, and nobody was quite sure how to get that ball in at pace. Eventually, it came back out and swung in superbly, and Jason Pearce, he met it full on the volley and dispatched it past Allsop, and Charlton have the lead. Inside Taylor gate, sends it to his left, but he's overcooked that to Harriman. That will sail out of play for a throw, and there's
come
the final whistle.
Get in there.
Charlton have the 3 points. It's been a hard-working affair in this second half. Wickham have banged on the door of the Charlton defence that have stayed strong as they had to.
So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. It's the big match preview coming to you live here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley as we get ready to look back at the win at Wickham, ahead to Luton, and also we're going to hear an exclusive interview with Robert Lee, is Mr. Tom Willin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, all right, thank you.
Yeah, are you had a good week?
It's been all right. Yeah, I was there Tuesday night.
Yeah, you were there, right in the thick of it.
Yeah. Something like that. Well, you had to be.
Yeah, and joining the pair of us here in SC7 is Mr. Nathan Muller. How are you getting on, Nath?
I'm all good.
Yeah?
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you sound
lovely,
fine, mate.
You sound, yeah, I had a frog in my throat, so I thought I'd clear it out.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you did before the show started.
I'm doing good. Everything's positive at the moment.
I mean, we'll come on to how positive things are in a second, but just to run you through then what's going on tonight's big match preview, we're going to talk about the game at Wickham. We're going to hear from Lee Bowyer and from Jason Pearce as well. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to hear from Rob Lee, or Robert Lee, for the pedantic people out there. I spoke to him during the week. He's doing the Upbeats Walk on Saturday, so we're going to hear from him. Then, of course, we're going to look ahead to the Saturday massive game here at the Valley with Luton Town. We're going to speak to Simon Pitts, who is the Luton Town commentator, and then, of course, Lee Bowyer himself will preview the game. We are right back in the thick of that top two race, aren't we, Tom?
Yeah, it's been a good week so far.
Come on, Tom, it's 4 points. Come on, we're going up.
All right, yeah, we're going up.
Yeah,
no, yeah, it's been really positive. And 6 points, surely? Did you say four?
It's 4 points off.
Oh, I thought you meant we got 4 points from them two games.
Yeah, no, like, 4 points off the top two.
Coming up, don't fight.
I can't do maths.
Calm down, everyone.
Yeah,
it has been. And what I was about to say is we weren't at our best, I don't think, either game, and we've come out with 6 points. Everyone seems to think we're going to beat Luton, and I agree.
Well, that's a formality.
Yeah, and we're spending all our time now just looking at where the others are going to drop points. But yeah, the top two is very much on as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm just planning what I'm doing on playoff final weekend, because I had penciled that in for something else, but no, I might...
We've got a spa weekend, haven't we, with
Nath? Yeah, exactly. Nath, I mean, it was a real battle at Wickham Wanderers on Tuesday night. It had to be. But, I mean, Lee Bowyer said it himself. He made the four changes in the build-up to that game. He brought in the likes of Jason Pearce, George Lapsley, Darren Prattley, the sort of players who are available and willing to get involved in a hands-on and dirty battle. And it proved the right decision because we've got the 3 points.
Yeah, I think on the preview before Plymouth, I think we all said that we'd expect Pearce to come in for the the Wickham game because they played last time. And yeah, I think it was one of those games. I think Bo said it in his post-match that probably last year we weren't have won it, and I don't think anyone could disagree with that.
Well, Wickham weren't in our league last year, so.
or a game like that, because we would have been at fault easily. But yeah, they're the games that'll prove your mettle in this league, and we're actually standing up to it, which is a nice change.
Yeah, now Piercy, the match winner, slightly controversial, I guess, that he comes in for Naby Sarr, always will be, with the way that Naby's been playing. But again, Boya said he was that sort of player, and we'll hear from him later on in the show. But the two games he scored goals in this season, away to Burton Albion when we were poor and needed a captain's goal, and away to Wickham when it was a battle and we needed someone just to edge us ahead. I mean, it seems like that's exactly the sort of game that Piercy was made for.
Yeah, and I think we said it coming back from Plymouth on Saturday that he would probably come in on Tuesday, firstly to rotate, but secondly because of the nature of the game. He marked Akinfenwa pretty much out the game at home. Unfortunately for us, they swapped him and played him up against Barrow instead as a result of that, but Pierce was still imperious at the back and kept himself up there. I don't know if it'll be in the interview later, but talks about the decision he almost made to go back but stayed up there, got his foot on it and managed to get us a very vital goal. And yeah, the goals, I think last season as well, he scored some important goals, and he's just one of them players, like Boya said so many times this season, he's our leader, he's our warrior on the pitch, and it was exactly his sort of game. And yeah, he came up with the goods as well at the other end.
Yeah, it was a rear guard action in that second half. You know, Wickham are absolutely fighting for their lives. They're one of many teams in that weirdly massive relegation battle, but they are only 1 point above the drop zone. I thought they were actually quite good, actually. They were a handful. It's amazing to think that now. I think they've gone 12 games without a win now, but they apparently were quite unlucky against Portsmouth on the Saturday. I think they probably would count themselves unlucky against us. They had chances they should have taken. Dylan Phillips once again in inspired form after his brilliant penalty save the weekend as well. Nath, I mean, Boya says in his interview, these are the games where you have to put your body on the line. And how many games in that League One promotion season under Powley did we win 1-0 towards the end of that season, home and away? I mean, that is exactly the sort of performance that promotions are made of.
Yeah, exactly. And it weren't so long ago that Wickham were 8th or 9th in the league. So they're not a team to underestimate. And yeah, they're not going to be free-flowing and partial off the pitch, but you know, they're good at what they do, they're efficient at what they do, and like you say, it's those games that'll get you promoted, because it's impossible for us to play beautiful football that we always want to see, and that strikes as if you're not going to be playing well, you're going to need that strong mentality, which I think we've got in abundance this year, which is throughout the squad. And like you say, you mentioned earlier, Burton was another game where, you know, maybe we probably got a lot more than we probably deserved, but it's one of the, it's a battle, and it's never always going to be pretty.
No. I think another player who perhaps epitomised the spirit and the hard work that we saw on Saturday is someone who's really played their way back into the game now in Igor Vetekeli. I mean, he got standing ovation when he went off. I mean, he absolutely ran his knackers off. He is now a castrated person because he ran them off. And it's great to see that him and Taylor have started to form this partnership. You know, potentially scored against Plymouth, although I think that's still to be confirmed. At the time, I thought he had. Watching the video back, I'm not sure he has.
Yeah.
But, you know, for him to be the work rate he put in on Tuesday night, it's all about, especially when it is a difficult second half, you need people running, chasing the ball down to the other end, and he did that.
Yeah, it's ironic we gave him a standing ovation when he could barely stand himself, because about 60 minutes we were crying for him to come off because he was absolutely knackered, and Boya kept him on and kept him on and kept him on, and the longer he did, I was worried, because I thought, if he runs for one of these balls and stretches himself, he's going to do some damage and injure himself again. But luckily he didn't, and when he did come off, I was just pleased that he could get some rest, because he put an unbelievable shift in, and especially towards the latter part of that second half when Taylor dropped back into kind of a five-man midfield. He was just, or any of them, when they were lumping balls forward or getting balls clear and into the channels, Igor was hunting down every single one, outpacing his defender 9 times out of 10, putting them under pressure, doing all the stuff you want from a forward. And it takes confidence to do that. And you can see it coming back. And we've spoken week on week on week for the last probably 6 or 7 that you can see the old Igor coming back. And he needs a couple of goals, I think, to really be what he was. But you can see that player is still in there, and the confidence is coming back. And just getting matches under his belt. He's getting used to playing regular football again. And I just worry whether it will come too late, in that the season will obviously finish for one, but also whether we will keep him next year. But the way he's played the second half of this season, irrespective of what league, I'd love to see him just get another year and another chance to really get a full season under his belt.
Now, the goal itself, I think it was a set piece that everyone was up for that sort of got cleared, and we ended up working it back to Josh Cullen, a glorious ball over to that far side. But I mean, Pearcey he still had to attack it, and I think the defenders there were probably feel a bit let down. They've let themselves down there by letting him get in between them. But the strikers finished that from close range. It's not as easy as it looked.
No, and obviously it's great to have two centre halves, and obviously Pearcey and Naby, who's probably two of the best finishers we have now. But but no, it's good to see as well, and it's always nice to see captain score goals. He wears his heart in his sleeve, and he always 110%. So, but yeah, it was a tricky little finish as well, because obviously I was listening in, and at first I thought it was header. And then they said it was like a volley. I was like, oh, jeez, he has got it in his locker. But yeah, it was good to see. And obviously he kept a clean sheet as well. It was a bonus.
Now, someone else, or another group of people, we have to mention the fans. And hopefully you can just about hear this video I took of them after the game on Saturday. They never stopped singing throughout the entire game. Literally, it was not a minute where there was not a song going on. The Charlton support on Tuesday evening was absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, I had to stand for the whole game. I had to sing. It was hard work. it was amazing. And we were stood in the middle, and you had a group on one side with a drummer and then a group on the other side. And for about the first 20 minutes, they weren't singing the same thing. So we were getting a mix of both. And then about halfway through, they started to figure it out. And then when that whole stand was singing together, it was a fun place to be. And in that second half, as you say, it was backs to the wall. Most of the play was down the other end where they were attacking. And obviously, as away fans, you want to see a goal right in front of you, and that didn't come. But despite all of that, the fans just didn't stop singing. And like I say, 30 minutes after the final whistle, there's still fans in there singing, and it just shows. And as we've spoken about, that good feeling around the place at the moment, the away end selling out, the atmosphere at away games, it was the same at Plymouth at the weekend. It's what you want as a football fan. And sometimes when you have all the crap games and the losses and everything else that goes on, it's nice to just have a little run like this where we're still playing for something, everyone's together, and you can kind of forget everything that's going on behind the scenes and just enjoy it, because that's why you get into football.
Now, of course, like I say, that last 10, 15 minutes in particular, Dylan had to make a couple of saves. Obviously, everyone knows about Adebayo Akinfenwa. He's still playing, you know, well into his late 30s now, but he's still a real handful, and he gave us some problems. Dylan made a good save from him. There was a header, I think possibly from Alex Samuel towards the end as well, that he did a good save from. El Abd, actually, it was. But yeah, Dylan in great form. But yeah, that defence, they had to stand up, and they had to put their bodies on the line in that closing stage.
Yeah, and it obviously starts from the front, and we know that this year there's been times where we've had to dig deep and show our grit and show the ugly side of the game where sometimes you don't really see that often. And I mean, obviously Dills has come in, been, you know, I think what was it, he's conceded the least amount of goals in the EFL, and he with 8 or something, and
this calendar year.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think there's probably a lot of people out there who are probably eating a bit of humble pie, and I'm happy for that, because people wanted other goalies and that. But I think Dills has done brilliantly since he's come in, deserved his number one spot. He's improving every week. Yeah. And he also helps with having a great back four. And I think Bo's saying about Jacko helping out, you know, doing the defensive side of things. And it's a good platform for us to build on going forward. So, yeah, and massive shout out to everyone.
Yeah, over 7 hours now since Charlton conceded a goal, which just shows how well everyone is working together at the end. And, of course, again, those celebrations at full time. I mean, Bo, you could see what it meant if you saw the video that the club took from on the pitch, him sort of saluting the crowd as he was coming off, and then the players as well. I mean, they know they've been in the battle, but you know that togetherness once again with the support and the players, and there's just this belief now. I mean, there's a real belief that we can catch up with that top two, because I mean we'll talk about the fixtures remaining for the other teams in a minute, but they've got some tough games, and we've got some tough games as well, but. There's going to be some more twists and turns before this is. I mean, we're still outsiders, but we're outsiders with a chance now.
That's right. Yeah, we're still in the hunt, and that's the most important thing. And playoff place is all but guaranteed now, so we can put that to bed. And whilst that top two's still on, why wouldn't you go for it? We're the team in form. We've won, or we haven't lost in 10. You know, I think only Luton have better form than us in the whole league, and that'll drop when they lose to us on Saturday. So. Yeah, we're just the unity between everyone. It's what Boyer wanted when he came in. It's what a football club ideally would have. And given all the issues, like I said earlier, that are happening, to have that at this stage in the season is amazing. And the players deserve credit. Obviously, the management deserve credit. And the fans do as well, because we've had to put up with some bad times in recent years. And we're still travelling in our numbers and helping the team on. And Bo, you referenced it today. You referenced it after Plymouth. You referenced it the other night as well. It makes a difference to those players. It really does. And like I say, when you're defending the goal right up the other end of the pitch and you can hear your fans just singing away, it must feed through and you can see the difference it's making. And yeah, it's just so nice to be a part of that and to just enjoy the ride. And who knows where we'll end up. If we get top two, then obviously amazing. If we don't, we're in the playoffs. And even again, with this unity, you've got to think that other teams are going to fear us, because, as I say, we are the form team at the moment in this league.
Now, of course, I spoke to Lee Bayer after the game at Adams Park on Tuesday evening. You can hear there are still fans in the ground still singing his name as well, which he certainly appreciated. And he said after, of course, Sunderland dropped points against Burton at the same time as us beating Wycombe Wanderers, he said, you know, that we are still well within that race for the top two.
I've said that people above us are going to drop points and that's still going to keep happening. There's still loads of games to go, you know, and I'm just so proud. I have to say I'm so proud of the players tonight. They've given everything. They've put their body on the line like no other game this season. The most that they've had to physically, that was so demanding for them. So demanding. It was unreal. Like the pressure just to compete and fight for every single ball, because that's what Wickham done. Wickham competed and they're good at what they do. And it doesn't matter what the score is at this time of the season. The most important thing is the 3 points.
See, Wickham fighting for their lives at the bottom of the table, but for a team going for it at the top, you know, 1-0 wins away like this on a Tuesday night, that's what promotions are made of, isn't it?
Yeah, another clean sheet. That's what I mean. The lads, they put their body on the line. They blocked, dived in front of shots. They've done everything that I asked. I said, look, don't leave nothing out there today. Like, you have to give everything. You're going to have to compete like you've never competed before. Because Wickham are fine. They're a side that wants to stay in this division. And we're a side that wants to get promotion. So you've got two teams that are going to give everything, you know. And I'm so proud of them, because 1-0 result is a great result. We could have scored more. Yeah, of course we could. But that's the way it is. We'll take the 1-0 and happily go home with that.
Get the feeling that this is the sort of game that Jason Pearce lives for. So probably quite fitting that he's the one who gets the winning goal as well.
Yeah, it's made for him, wasn't it? I said yesterday when obviously I changed it, I said to Jacko and the other staff, like, this game's made for Pearcey. This game's made for Prattley. Made for Lapsley. Like, they love battles, you know? And they had to be at it for 90 minutes, 90 plus minutes. Pearcey defended like a lion, and obviously to come up with a goal as well, great ball from Josh Cullen. But I thought everyone was outstanding tonight, everybody.
Because you made the four changes before kick-off today. Was it a case of A, rotating, but B, bringing in the sort of players that would fit this sort of fixture?
Yeah. We've got players now that fight and compete, and last season we was too lightweight, and I think that showed tonight that we can go away and play against these strong physical sides and compete and win. And I said to them, like, don't worry about the games that we've outplayed teams and murdered them in possession. These are the ones that get you promotion. These ones it, and the tough ones that are physical and a battle and individual battles all over the pitch, they're the ones that get you promotion. So like I said, I can't tell you how proud I am. They should be proud, so proud of themselves as well. Fans were unreal, didn't stop singing the whole game again. I think they're enjoying it, you know, because I guarantee you they like to see the good football that we're playing this season, but I bet they love that as well, seeing everybody fighting and for their team. Because that's what everyone's done there. They've all given 100% and they couldn't have given any more.
We'll see right back in that race for the top two now, and there won't be many teams in better form than Charlton at the moment.
No, I don't think there'll be many better than us at the moment. And we've got all our players back, you know. It makes a massive difference when you can rotate. When you've got the players that we have in the squad fit, then yeah, we're definitely dangerous, that's for sure, but we haven't had that very often. So, but yeah, listen, there's a long way to go. What's it, 5 games to go now? You never know what's going to happen. Even today, we've closed the gap on Sunderland. They're in second now, only 4 points. Okay, they've got a game in hand, but they've got a hell of a lot of games and a hell of a lot of difficult games. They've got to play Bristol Rovers, I think, Portsmouth, Doncaster. Like, these are all sides that we've played and done well against. And now it's going to be a challenge for Sunderland and Barnsley and Portsmouth. And for us, everyone's fighting for this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It gets top in the top two, and but it's definitely going to be more twist before the end of the season for sure.
Momentum has been with Charlton. They've really played well this.
Oh, it's a quickly taken corner into Williams in the penalty area. Chip ball back across. Headed clear. Only as far as Saar gets something on it. So does Vedekele. Oh, cleared away. Abby Saar again.
Yes! Come on!
This time it was Vedekele. He got Vedekele's header. I don't know who it come off in the end. Deflected in. It might have been Williams. I've no idea who that came off last. But it over the outstretched hand of Ramsdale. But it was Vedekele's header. John McEwen up for the dropping ball, but it took a deflection off of somebody, and it's in the back of the net.
There we go, Lee Bowyer, after Tuesday evening's superb 1-0 win away at Wycombe Wanderers. That's given us a real chance of getting into that top two. Now, of course, the goal scorer for that game was Jason Pearce, the Addicts captain. Came back in to start again, first time for a little while since the Bristol Rovers game. But obviously Naby Saar came in whilst Pearcey was injured, and he's pretty much kept him out of the team ever since. And with his performances, Bowyer decided to shuffle his pack because of the nature of the game we were going to have against Wycombe. I think we'll hear from Pearcey and then we'll come back and discuss it, because it's quite interesting. You know, he's the captain of the club. He would expect to be playing, but at the same time, obviously, he wants everyone to be happy. He wants the mood to be fair. And he admits that, you know, it's nice for him to come back, but in reality, Naby Saar hasn't really deserved to be dropped so far this season.
Yeah, no, obviously, I was pleased to get a start. Obviously, Naby's been playing. He's been doing really well. So I've had to wait my opportunity. But no, obviously, we knew what they were about today, and they're fighting for their lives at the bottom. So we knew it was going to be a real tough game, and all the lads gave everything tonight. I think everyone saw that, and I was fortunate enough to pop up with a goal, and it was the winner in the end. So yeah, I'm delighted.
Not just a goal; it was a cracking volley from the delivery from Josh Cullen was superb.
Yeah.
You had to be on the end of it, hit it sweetly. Knew it was a goal as soon as you left your foot.
Well, no, I didn't, to be fair, but I just thought at the time I was going to run back with Pat. Because I thought the attack had finished, but I thought, oh, no, I'll stay up just in case a good ball comes in. It did, and luckily I was there to finish it off. So yeah, I was delighted.
Lee Bowyer, did he mention before the game that chances might come few and far between, and we've got to take them if we want to win this one?
Yeah, I think he did mention that, and also that we had to win our battles tonight. And I thought everyone could give their all, like I said, and everyone to a man. We rode our luck towards the end. They had a couple of good chances, which Dylan made a couple of good saves and a few blocks from the boys, but we hung on in there, and it's a tough place to come, so it was vital we got 3 points.
Obviously a squad game, you said earlier on, you know, you've had to wait your time with Naby playing so well, but for sure, with albeit only 5 games to go, the whole squad's still going to have to play its part.
Yeah, no, of course, and I know that. I'm old enough to know that, and at the end of the day, that's football, you know. I got injured. Someone else gets an opportunity. Nabi got his opportunity, and he's taking it. And I'm one of them. I'm honest with myself, and I'm honest as a person. And he doesn't deserve to be dropped, you know. So obviously I want to play, but it's frustrating. But it's a team game, and he's done well, and I support him and Pat all the time. I think the lads will say that, and I'll just wait for my opportunity. And today I got an opportunity, and I felt like I took it, but we'll see what the manager does at the weekend.
Just going to keep showing in the video the goal then, just to remind him.
Yeah, no, listen, if I get called upon, I'll always do my best. I'm the captain of the club at the minute, and everyone knows what I'm about. So a game like tonight was perfect for me, but Saturday might be different, I don't know. So, you know, I'll just, if I'm not selected, then I'll keep supporting the team, and we all want to achieve the same thing, so that's it.
People have said that while you're on the pitch, in games like tonight, when the extra effort is needed, you need a bit of crowd support, and you can't argue that the travelling addicts gave you that.
No, superb again tonight. I mean, obviously I've been on the bench the last couple of weeks, and obviously I can hear them a lot more when you're on the bench, and they've been unbelievable, to be honest, and really helped the team and giving us that extra push. So I can't thank them enough, and from the lads as well. It's been great to have them behind us, and hopefully, obviously at the moment, we're giving them something to cheer about, and hopefully we can keep that going.
In the dressing room, is it a tough thing to try and keep your mind just on the games in hand rather than the prize at the end of it?
Bo, the manager, he said to us all along that he feels like we can get in the top two, so he just keeps drilling that into us. And at the moment, we're getting the victories, we're getting clean sheets, and the boys are playing well, doing well. So long may that continue, but obviously, like you say, you've got to keep your feet on the floor, and if we take our foot off the gas, well, we'll get beaten by any team in this league. So luckily we're keeping it going at the moment, and we've got pit players on the bench who want to play, and the lads who are playing are doing well. So yeah, we just need to all stay together.
On a decent unbeaten run now, 3 wins back-to-back, going into the game against Luton, it's decent form, and that's the sort of form you need against table toppers.
Yeah, that's obviously going to be a massively hard game. They're a top team in this division, they've done great. Everyone's going to have to be on it for the weekend. Obviously it's at home, so we have the fans, home fans behind us, and again, we'll give our all and try and get the 3 points.
Well done tonight, Joseph.
Cheers, thank you.
Obviously, Sunderland dropping points tonight, and we've seen the clubs above us dropping them. Do you think the more the Charlton win, it will put them under more and more pressure as we go towards the end of the season?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think, obviously, we keep winning, they keep looking behind, and then seeing the Charlton keep winning, it's going to be difficult for them because they know they've got to win. But, you know, we're 4 points off it, which at this stage of the season is a decent little gap. But we're just going to keep plugging away and keep trying to win the games.
So your 2 goals now this season have both sort of edged quite difficult games. You must be pleased that you've been able to add a captain's goal perhaps at the right time.
Yeah, no, I'm just pleased. I'm pleased to get back. I've had a tough time with injuries of late. I'm fortunate, it's just the way I play, I feel. I'll pick up some injuries, but no, I'm pleased to get out there today and provide a goal for the team and obviously get the clean sheet. So it's the most important thing is the victory.
There we go, Captain Jason Pearce there after Tuesday evening's game against Wickham, where he got the winner himself. As he mentioned, of course, you know, he's been kept out of the team by Nabi. I mean, that's Bo's always said, if you play well, you keep your place in the team, and that's what Nabi did when Pearcey went out injured. And he hasn't really come back into the side since then, other than, like we say, that Bristol Rovers game, and then, of course, on Tuesday night. It's a fair decision from Boya, but it's going to be interesting what happens now, because Pearcey played very well on Tuesday night and got a goal as well.
Yeah, it's tough for either of them, really, because they both deserve starts, and there's only one left-sided position, unless we're going to play three central defenders in some sort of 3-5-2, which I know we switched to towards the end, but I don't think he's going to go with that from the start, so it's a difficult one for Sunday. It's difficult because, as I say, neither of them deserve to be dropped. It was the same with Dills. Obviously, he came out initially after the start of the season, and then when he came back in after the loan spell and kept his place and fully justified. And again, you see Maxwell come in and you think, it's only a matter of time. But again, Bo stuck to his word. He said if he plays well, he'll stay in, and that's what's happened. And same with Nabi. He's been phenomenal. I've seen people today talking about potential player of the year for him in terms of that comeback he's made. So, yeah, it is difficult for either of them. They've both got their qualities. And I think it will be very much dependent on what Bowyer makes of Luton, how quick they are up front, and how much ability we'll have to play it out from the back as to which one he picks.
Obviously, the way Pearcey was speaking there is just, sounds like very much one of the good eggs. accepts the decision from the manager, which you have to do, even if you are the captain, of course. But which way do you see it going on Saturday, Nath?
I think Pearcey will start. Yeah. I think as much as they score goals for fun, obviously, but you've got Collins, who's not there, Cummins, Hilton, and Cornick. So they're not blessed with pace. So I would, and they're not the biggest. So
clearly you're holding them back, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I just think like Hilton's. I think they're just. No, it sounds stupid, but they're all just good finishers. Like Connolly, Owen Connolly's there, so they're good finishers. But I can't see they don't really have target men, so you'd think maybe Naby against the big target man of pace. So I can see it being Pat and Paddy, Pat and Pearcey. But who knows? Maybe Naby impresses in training. Who knows? But I'd imagine Pearcey would play.
Mm. I asked him about, of course, again, our chances of catching that top two. And he did say 4 points is a big gap at any point. It's just that, you know, if we keep winning games, they will, as Pearcey said, they will be looking over their shoulders.
Mm. Yeah, and as we've said earlier, we're the team in form. And we have to assume, if we're going to dream of the top two at all, that we win all our games. And then it's about, well, will they drop any? And if so, where? And it's, as we've said, it's still possible. And while it's possible, Boya's not going to let that spirit drop. You see, when he took over last year and we were however many points outside the playoffs, and he wasn't saying, oh, well, we'll make a push for it. He was saying from day one, we'll get in the playoffs, don't worry, we'll get in the playoffs, and we did. And now he's saying we can still push for top two, and I imagine, given that we will push them all the way. And, you know, a team, if they go a goal down early on and they know that Charlton are playing somewhere else in the country and breathing down their necks, it's going to scare them, because, as I say, we are the team in form, and we've just got to do what we can do. And if we win all our games and it's not enough and we finish third, you hold your hands up and you go, fair enough. But we've just got to give it everything we've got first of all, and see what happens and see where the cards fall. But I still think there's more to play for in this season. I feel like there are going to be slip-ups, and it's about whether we can take that chance.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've got a special treat for you now on Charlton Live. Don't forget, of course, this Saturday before the game against Luton Town is the Upbeats Walk, setting off from Footscray Rugby Club next to the training ground. Walking the 9 miles sort of over Shooter's Hill and then down and then across, by the looks of it, this year to the Valley, all in aid of the Charlton Upbeats, raising money and awareness, of course, for that really great programme. All three of us in this room are doing it, and there's someone else who's doing it. There's a few legends doing it in terms of former Charlton players, but one of them is Robert Lee. Now, Rob Lee is a real Charlton hero from back in the day. He made over 300 appearances for the club before he went on to Newcastle. He was playing at a very difficult time for the club. He was here when they left the Valley, had to play at Selhurst Park, but don't forget, of course, Charlton managed to get into the top division in their time during that exile. A very good player for the team, and of course his sale to Newcastle, where he went on to become an England star as well, helped to fund the return to the Valley. So I caught up with Rob, who, as I said, don't forget, you can meet him on the Upbeats Walk if you're coming along this Saturday. But I caught up with him on the phone during the weekend. He says he has some very fond memories of his time here at Charlton.
I had 8 great years there, really. I mean, people say to me, "Yeah, why didn't you leave a little bit early?" But I thought I left at the right time, probably. Because I enjoyed it there. I had a great time there. It's me. My dad's a Poydon. As everyone knows, I worked on the turnstiles for a few games, and it wasn't far from my house, my home, and my family. So, and we had some great times considering the problems we had. You know, getting promotion a couple of times, getting to the First Division Premier League, if you like, and not even being at the Valley. So it was. It was a good time. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, because I was going to ask. I mean, with all that turmoil that they had off the pitch during your spell there, with having to move to Selhurst Park, did that make it tougher to achieve the success that you did on the pitch?
I think when you're not playing at your home ground, you can see it now with the like of Tottenham, and not playing your home ground. Your home ground gives you a huge advantage. You know, I made my debut in '94 against Grimsby, and you know, I think it was a week later the club went into liquidation, and John Fryer from Sunderland took over, and we realised we had to get out of the Valley, and within a few months we was playing at Selhurst Park for years, and then at Upton Park. So yeah, I think for Lenny Lawrence and that group of players to manage to get into the First Division with the big boys, playing in front of smallest crowds away from, you know, because Selhurst Park might be only 7 miles or so, but it's a slot there for fans. So yeah, it was difficult, but I think it brought the team and the even fans together, really.
And of course, when it did become your time to move on to Newcastle, I mean, obviously it was important for you to further your career. But is it nice to know as well that your sale played such a big part in the club being able to afford to come back to the Valley?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think Alan Kirby tells me they. I think Charlton at the time, you know, I'd been there 8 years. It was time for me to move on, and you know, with all due respect, Charlton needed some money. They just so happened that they sold me to the probably their biggest rivals in that division, because we'd started the season very, very well. I think we were top or second for a few games that I was there, and then I went to Newcastle, their biggest rivals. But I think in the long run it suited both parties. You know, Charlton got what they needed to do, which was get some money and then go back to the Valley, and I needed to see if I could play at a high level.
And of course, you said it yourself, Charlton's always had a reputation as a family club, and that brings you back on Saturday, of course, with the Upbeats Wall. Because have you always felt, like you say, that sort of community element to the club, and how important that is to the club and its supporters?
Yeah, I think it's always been like that. I mean, you know, a lot of people coming through now don't actually realise I play for Charlton, because I think people now they see the Premier League, and anything before the Premier League was... they don't know about it, and they don't care about it really. But you know, it was a family club when I was there, and it still is. Keith Peacock, who I've known many years, played with his son Gavin, good friend of mine still, has asked me loads of times to go back to the game. Obviously, because of my son's playing football, it's been very difficult. But it's this Saturday's given me a great opportunity to go back and do the walk, which I've been promising to do, and also see the game.
I mean, yeah, are you able to keep much of an eye on Charlton now, and in particular, of course, the job that Lee Bowyer does? Because I was trying to work out, I wonder if Lee might have been coming up through the youth ranks while you were still at the club, so I wondered if you knew him well.
I know Lee really well, yeah. We golf together, and I'm extremely well with good friends, so I didn't like him when I played against him. He was a pest, but I think he was when he played against everyone. But no, since we both retired, we've played golf regularly, so I'm a good friend of his. He's done a marvellous job, a fantastic job under difficult circumstances. And they look strong. I said to Bo when Charlton went to Luton at the start of the season, I said it's the best team I've seen here. So and nothing's really changed my mind. I think they're a decent team. They're very good.
Yeah, and he just surpassed his 50th game as league game as Charlton manager on the weekend. I mean, as you've known him over the years, did you think he had that management quality within him?
No, if you'd have asked me, I would have said no. He was, he's a bit younger than me, and he was quite lively when we used to go out and we'd play golf. But he always had a passion about football. I mean, he was always very passionate about football. But I think sometimes you don't really know until you try. That's the thing. And I think he fell into the position when Cole left. Stuck him in for a few games, done so well they couldn't really get rid of him. And this season, as I said, they've done marvellous to be up there and got a very, very good chance of going up, I think.
Now, of course, once we've done the walk on Saturday, we'll sit down and relax in front of a top of the League One table clash.
That's if I get through the walk. I've got a dodgy knee. I've had a dodgy knee for ages, so I'm just making sure that I try and last these 9 miles.
I made it last year, so I think anyone can do it. But of course, it is Charlton against Luton, and probably fair to say that Luton have been the surprise package of the season. I mean, they've absolutely stormed the division, and of course you've got a vested interest there because your son Elliot is playing for Luton as well. But you must be so impressed with how well they've done so far this season.
Yeah, well, it hasn't surprised you, really. I mean, Ollie and Elliot were both there last year, and they took, you know, the second division, they took it by storm, really. And they tried to play with, you know, Nathan Jones, the manager at the time. He wasn't kick and rush. They actually tried to play football. It's very difficult to get out of the second division doing it, but they did it. But they bought players that could play higher up, and that's, you know, and the other side of the coin is that sometimes, you know, better players find it a struggle to play when you're playing in the second division on poor pitches and against teams that just hoof it. So they bought their players that could cope in this division. So I knew once that they got up, most of the players would be better. I generally thought they had a chance because they have got good players. They play the right way. you know, Mick Hartford's come on once Nathan Jones has left, and it's kept everything the same. They try to play football. They don't just smash it up to the number nine and miss out midfield. They try and play, you know, very similar to Charlton. So it'd be not many teams play against them though. That's the thing. You know, I think when you get a reputation of playing and you start winning games, not many teams try and play against you. They always sit in and try and catch you on the break. But Charlton won't do that. I think Saturday will be a good game of football.
Brilliant. Well, Rob, thanks for joining us on Charlton Live, and I'm sure all the Charlton fans doing the walk on Saturday will look forward to meeting you as well.
I'm looking forward to seeing them all. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone. I'm really looking forward to going back to the Valley, so hopefully it'll be a good day for the walk and a good day for watching the game as well.
There we go. Great to have Robert Lee on this evening's Charlton Live, an Addicts legend. Slightly before my time, actually, but you hear stories of fans who've gone before, and they always say what a good player he was in the middle of the park there for the Addicts. And of course, with his son Elliot playing for Luton Town, perfect timing to have him on the show as well. He can give it. I do love the story about the fact that he used to work on the turnstiles here. And then ended up playing for the first team as well. So don't forget Upbeats Walk on Saturday. If you can't make it, you can still donate to the Upbeats. Look out on social media. There'll be plenty of links to where you can donate as well. Right, let's start looking ahead now to the game with Luton Town. The Hatters are absolutely smashing it this year. They're on a 28-game unbeaten run. It's got to end somewhere, hasn't it, lads? It's got to end somewhere. Yeah, thank you for that noise, Nathan. And of course, they're coming to the Valley on Saturday. I spoke to Simon Pitts, who's the Luton Town commentator and a fan, of course, as well. And he did admit that he didn't really see this season going quite the way that it has.
Well, it's been amazing. I mean, certainly didn't expect us to be 28 games unbeaten and top of the league with a bit of a gap. But, you know, it's one of those, it's what dreams are made of. But I think we've deserved it from recent performances, you know, that the run's just kept going. And, you know, when you've got that team spirit, you do keep going, don't you? And we saw Accrington do it in our league last season in League Two, and we've done it in League One this year and set a club record at Taboo.
Now, you know, 8-point gap. Above third place Sunderland and second place Barnsley at the moment. I'm sure you're not going to say it, but it is looking pretty certain now that Luton will be going up. And at the start of the season, did you see this coming?
I didn't see that we'd be 8 points clear with 5 games to go. No, I'll be totally honest. You know, we had a tough start. Everybody knew that. And, you know, we only took 1 point from our opening 3 games in the league. We started to build and then the momentum kept going. You know, I think for myself personally at the beginning of the season, I was certainly hoping that we'd be putting pressure on the playoffs was hoping that we'd be in and around, you know, the top six positions to have a chance or at least be, you know, pushing for that. But the way the team's played and the way that we've just kept going this season, you know, it's been fantastic. And, you know, the performances most weeks in and out have just been, certainly of late, have been very good.
And of course, you had to deal with the heartache of Nathan Jones leaving to go and join Stoke City halfway through. And I remember saying at the time that, you know, famously, I hope that could even derail Luton season and give us a chance of perhaps catching you. But it seems like the transition couldn't really have gone any more smoothly to Mick Harford.
No, you're quite right. You know, there was obviously the fear that with Nathan going and taking some key members of the backroom staff, the shock of it happening in the way it did, you know, so soon after the Sheffield Wednesday draw at Hillsborough in the FA Cup. Yes, you could fully expect and understand that things, you know, if you lost a game or drew a game that you were expected to win, then suddenly the momentum might be lost. But all credit to the players, you know, they've kept that run going and they've actually had more games unbeaten since Nathan went than him starting that run. So, you know, that's credit to Mick and everybody involved at the club, the backroom team that are still there, those that have been promoted to support, and the players and the squad that we've got, that we've been able to keep that going. And, you know, however it's affected the players off the pitch, it's not really affected them on the pitch.
So what is it that's been Luton's the secret to their success this season? I remember when Charlton came to the Valley, I'm guessing it probably wasn't their best performance of the campaign, because generally they're so good at home, it's very rare they drop points. But even away, you know, they've won just as many as they've drawn and lost as well. So what is it that's kept them going so far this season?
Well, I'm not going to let that slip with five games to go at my end playing Charlton on Saturday. If I knew, I wouldn't be talking to you, would I? I'd be managing somewhere. But no, I think, you know, in all seriousness, I think the team spirit is a big thing. A lot of the players talk about there being no bad eggs in the camp. You know, I think also the momentum helps, doesn't it? Once you start an unbeaten run, the longer it goes on, the better that it continues. I mean, it sounds in a way a bit daft to say, but you get that momentum, you get the spirit building, you get the fans on your side, and it just then keeps going. You know, at some point, whether it's this season or next season, we are going to lose a game. You know, we're not arrogant enough to think that we're unbeatable, but the players have the confidence in themselves to go out and perform week in, week out. And you know, that it's been an amazing run. I mean, it is a history record breaking run. So, you know, let's not get too carried away with ourselves to a certain extent. It's never been done by Luton Town Football Club. And I read a stat today that said it's the first time in 125 years that a club has gone on 21 games unbeaten in the league following a promotion. I think it was at Liverpool in 1893-94 season or something, you know, and that's just ridiculous. Yeah. But, you know, it's been fantastic to watch. We've enjoyed it. You know, you go into every game hoping, of course, whoever you follow, that you don't lose. But for Luton, it's just been this incredible run since the middle of October.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And now it's probably a difficult question when you've probably got more than one you're going to want to pick. But, I mean, who is the best player or the most dangerous player that Charlton fans should be wary of at the Valley on Saturday?
I think you're quite right. I don't think there's one specifically that, you know, it would be fair to pick out of the squad that we've got. We've got several players that have done superbly well this season. We've had three in the EFL team, League One Team of the Year, one of whom was actually in the Football League Team of the Year, you know, the combined from the three leagues, James Justin, our left back. Jack Stacey at right back has been very attacking. He was in the League One Team of the Year. The one that will obviously miss the match on Saturday, courtesy of a sending off last weekend, will be James Collins, currently top scorer and also in the team, of the player of the year for the EFL League One. So he'll obviously be a miss. But the strength that we've got in the squad, you know, I honestly wouldn't like to pick one name out. I think our Player of the Season award presentation night in a few weeks' time is going to be very interesting to see who the fans will vote, you know, throughout the season has been their best player, because you literally could sit six or seven people in a room and they'd all have a different opinion.
Yeah. And now just away from this season on the field in particular, you've had some good news off it as well with the new ground coming up and with promotion in the offing, it would seem. It feels like it's a pretty good time to be a Luton Town fan, especially considering what you've had to go through over the last 7 or 8 years with the relegation into non-league.
Oh, it's been incredible. I mean, this season on and off the pitch is defining for the football club, but also for the town of Luton itself, because it's not just a football stadium that will be built. It is all the facilities and everything that goes with that particular development. And also the development that will, in effect, fund it out at Newlands Park by the motorway junction that is equally important for both the football club and for the town itself. So, yeah, to have both of those approved by the council in this calendar year as well has just really added the icing to the cake and, you know, really does give a great future for the football club and for the town.
There we go, Simon Pitts there, thoroughly miserable after a horrible season for Luton. Safe in the knowledge they're going to get thrashed here at the Valley on Saturday as well. Obviously, it's been a great season for Luton Town, and Simon enjoying it as well, as he well should. Interesting, of course, they're going to be out with, is it Collins, the striker, James Collins, is suspended. He got sent off last Saturday, two yellows. So, I mean, obviously, that just makes it even easier for us. It's already quite easy. But yeah, I mean, they have absolutely flown, Nath, and even with your namesake Nathan Jones leaving, you know, there was a danger that could derail them, but Mick Harford has kept it going quite comfortably for them.
Yeah, I think obviously when Nathan went,
I didn't realise you're on first name terms with him.
with him going, I think it would have been crazy. I mean, if Mick did go in and change it, because they've played the same way the last couple of years. They know style of play. They know all the roles. So, yeah, it makes sense that he's kept it the same. And it's fair play to him, because you could easily try and change him, try and put his own stamp on things. But they all know how to play. And obviously, they deserve to be where they are. I mean, the game at Kenilworth Road was a tricky game. And I know we only got a last-minute equaliser, but they're a good side, and it's going to be another tricky game on Saturday.
Yeah, absolute wow game that was as well, wasn't it?
Absolute wow.
Right, a couple of tweets that have come in just before we hear from Lee Bailey looking ahead to the game. Ev James, I see that the new Alan Kirbishley is here, but I stress this could be the regeneration of our club. Forget about the fungus-type wart up top. This is the Bowyer era arising. Hopefully he's talking about, when he says up top, he's talking about Roland and not Lyle Taylor.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I think that's just his hair.
Vital Charlton says, I reckon we're going to absolutely smash Luton Town. That's what we're saying, Vital Charlton, on Saturday. With the way the club is going right now, I think our strength will outweigh them, fingers crossed. And Anthony Waghorn was delighted to hear the interview with Robert Lee. Says, I'm old enough to remember his first game, and he is one of the last true legends of the club. Certainly was. Now, Lee Bowyer is another true legend here at the club, and he's looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Luton Town. He knows that we're in for a tough game against the Hatters.
Hard game. They score goals for fun. They deserve to be where they are. You say our run's good, theirs is even better. So I think Mick, the manager, has to take an hell of a lot of credit for what's happened there. They was in a good position when he came in, and I understand that, but could have easily have changed things around and tried to tamper with it, but he didn't, and you have to respect him for that. And like, it's my saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I was hoping he was going to try and change things around, but he didn't. And for me, he deserves a hell of a lot of credit. He has good players, and he just maintained what they had. And his recruitment in January was very good. I think Moncur was a good signing for him. He's added to their squad and goals. He scored some important goals since he's been there. So I think they're done very well. Luton, can't see them dropping out of the top two. And for the runs they've been on, then they deserve to go on.
Season's best crowd is expected at the Valley. But are you expecting a tense, tight game?
I think it'd be a good game. I think it'd be entertaining. It'd be two teams trying to stop each other. And then I think the team that takes their chances best will win. And at the moment, we're defending very well. I'd like us to take our chances more that we're getting. But you never know, Saturday could be the day where we might be limited to chances, but we take all of them, and then we'll win the game.
Is Christian Bielik available to you on Saturday?
Don't know yet. He had his injection Monday. Today he's going to do like training session with us, and we'll see how he comes through that. If he comes through that okay and tomorrow okay, then he'll be in the squad. But I have to be careful, because you have to look at the bigger picture. I would rather lose him for like another game than lose him for four. So I'm going to weigh up and see how it goes this morning, really.
Are there any other injury doubts for Saturday?
No, we're all good.
And any further news on your contract negotiations? When we spoke last week, there seemed to be some confusion about it. Have you been able to iron out one or two things?
I've just, funny enough, I've just spoken to Lee, and literally I walked in this morning and he was here. So we had a quick 5-minute meeting, and he asked what I was thinking of what the offer was, and we had a good conversation, and it was a positive conversation. And he said he wants myself and the staff to stay. And I said, well, it's likewise. It was a good conversation, positive conversation. So they know what I expect. And I'm sure we'll get there. Might take a little bit of time, but it's took this long, so a few more weeks ain't going to hurt, is it?
Could we see you signing a deal sooner rather than later?
I don't know. I think for me, it's, I just want to try and concentrate on what we're doing here. This is so much more important than my contract. I just want to see us keep winning games and see where we end up at the end of the season, regarding whether we can get the top two or if we're in the playoffs. So that's the most important thing for me. The contract thing is going to sort itself out. But I just want to get promotion. So that's more important. Like people keep asking me about the contract. Yeah, it's great. And yes, I like everyone knows, I love the club. So it's, but yeah, when it's going to get sorted, I don't know. But like I said, my focus is on winning games at the moment.
So there we go. Just a little update there from Lee Bowyer on his contract situation as well. Probably, you're probably not even paying him money, just a tin of Spam or something, aren't they? but yeah, we'll worry about the
beef next
year. We'll worry about the game for now because we'll probably talk more about the contract on Sunday. Yeah, he's no injury, added injuries apart from Bilic, who's still going to be out. So there's going to be some interesting choices. The first one we've talked about, Saafa Pierce, so we've had that discussion. In the midfield then, so obviously we made a few changes. Williams went out of the midfield on Tuesday evening. The likes of Lapsley and Prattley came in. So it'd be interesting if he sort of changes it back to how we were at Plymouth, obviously minus Bilic. Do you think he's more likely to go for that more free-flowing side rather than the battling side that we saw on Tuesday?
I think so, yeah. I think you'll see Reeves and Williams come in.
Yeah.
I think so, and then you'll have Cullen and Aribo. I think it's the type of game that they're probably going to be suited. It's going to be quite quick. It's going to be a good footballing game, I think. And it's a game that especially Johnny and Ben will love to be involved in with a nice, quick, intricate passing. Yeah.
And I'm another player who's impressed recently, again, when coming in the team, in and out, Dick Steele. You were pleased with his performance on Tuesday evening, weren't you, Tom?
Yeah, I thought he played really well on Tuesday. Kept that side of the pitch relatively quiet. And I've got my issues with Darren Prattley, but he's not really suited to that wide right position. So Dick Steele didn't have a lot of cover over on that side, and I thought he did really well up against two players a lot of the time. So I do think Solly will probably come back in for the weekend, and he was being rested for this weekend. But I think Dick Steele has done really well there this season, and Tuesday was good.
Well, we saw that great assist from Solly away, didn't we, against Plymouth the game before as well. It's going to be a fascinating game because, as we know, Luton Town just score goals like you won't believe. They score so many goals. They attack from their fullbacks, which means our fullbacks and midfielders are going to be up against it as well. But it's going to be a really fascinating game, and I can't see it being one where either team is going to be sitting behind the ball and trying to make it difficult.
No, I don't think so. Like, I think, like you say, like Luton, they obviously rely a lot on their width. But I think with Solly being probably one of the best one-on-one defenders in the league, and Purrington, who's good defensively, not so much going forward for me, but I think they're going to be going wide. But I think through the middle, I think we're a lot stronger, in my opinion. And I think it's going to be a good game. I don't think it's good. They're not going to sit behind the ball, that's for sure. And I was thinking, with the way the league is at the moment, we can play without any fear, without any pressure. We've got playoffs signed, sealed, delivered. We've not, it's going to be hard for this top two, but why don't we just have a go? We can play with no fear. The pressure is everyone above us, including Luton. So have a go and then see how we get on. But I think it's going to be a really good game because usually the games here are people sitting behind a ball, and it's going to be nice. It's going to be probably a little bit more open.
And you think about the games against the good teams here have been excellent games. Sunderland at home, Barnsley, the likes, and then Portsmouth have all been great games that we've won as well, or Sunderland got a decent point as well. Sebo says he's given us a list of reasons why we're going up when you compare it to the season 97-98. So if we're on a winning run without conceding a goal during the running, we went 8 games without conceding in 98. We lost to a stoppage time goal in the North East on the opening day, obviously Sunderland this year. I think it was Middlesbrough in that season. And the gaffer was a West Ham fan as a kid. That's Curbs and Bowyer. So according to Sebo, we're 100% going up, which is true.
Lovely stuff.
Lovely stuff. I mean, if Sebo says it's true, that's the rules. Right, I mean, I said we'll have a quick look at the running that the other teams have got. So Sunderland, of course, who we're 4 points behind, they've got a game in hand on us. But their next four games are all against teams within the top nine. So Coventry at home on Saturday, Good Friday, they're at home to Doncaster. They've got to go to Peterborough away. They've got to play Portsmouth at home. Then they've also got Fleetwood Town away and Southend away before the end of the season. Barnsley at home to Fleetwood, easy-ish. Shrewsbury at home, easy-ish. Away to Plymouth. Well, Plymouth made it difficult for us, but we did beat them Then they're at home to Blackpool, who's another team they're doing okay. Then away to Bristol Rovers on the last day. And then you've got Portsmouth, who are at home to Rochdale, who you'd expect them to win. Burton Albion have proved a thorn in a few team sides recently. At home to Coventry, a difficult one. That Sunderland-Portsmouth game we've mentioned. Then they're at home to Peterborough, not an easy game. Then they're at home to Accrington Stanley, which you'd say on the last day of the season you'd expect them to win. I mean, they have got some difficult run-ins. I mean, I'm not saying we've got an easy one, but it could be. Let's see what happens Saturday. But if we win 3 points, it could be wide, wide open.
That's the thing. And like we said earlier, the formality is we have to win all our games, so that has to happen. But if it does, you've got to think that there's going to be drop points over those three teams. It's just about who drops points and how many they drop. But I completely agree with you. They've got some difficult games to play, and a lot of them, even if the teams that they're playing aren't in the top seven or eight, they're teams that are fighting for their lives down the bottom as well. And so long as they're not playing too many of the sides in the middle of the table who've got nothing to play for, which there isn't really any because of the relegation fight, you've got to think that everyone's really playing for something. So it is exciting. Like you say, every weekend it's changing around. But you just imagine if we come out of this weekend and we're still within touching distance, then the confidence we go into that Easter break where we've got two games very quickly, one after the other, it's exciting. It's very exciting.
It's going to be fascinating. All right, let's quickly have your predictions. These are high-pressure predictions, Nathan.
I'm going a 1-0 last 10-minute set piece for Charlton.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Scorer?
I'm going to go with Joe Rebo.
Lovely. Tom?
I'm going to go 2-0 Charlton.
2-0 Charlton. Come on! That's it! Come on! That's what we're doing. Right, this has been Charlton Live, the big match preview. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening to the end. I've been Louis Mendes, Luton Town, here at the Valley on Saturday. 3 points. If we win 3 points, we are right back in the mix for that top two. We'll see you on Sunday evening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.